welcome to Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we are watching every single Disney animated movie in chronological order, and then we talk about them. Now today, Inside the Vault, we have a very fun and exciting guest. You know her as a co-host of the podcast Talk Like a Girl with Tara Copeland, Ashley Ward, and Maylia Mills. You may also know her as one of those people in the writer's room for Trial and Error on NBC. That's television. It is Andy Apuy.
Hi. Hello.
Are you there? Andy, I thought I saw you.
Oh, hi. Hey. Oh my gosh. This is amazing. This place.
Yeah, you've actually been here for a while, Andy.
You've made yourself a comfortable little nook here.
I know. I've just been kind of lured in by this like amazing jazz sound.
Oh my gosh. Is that what you're seeing inside the vault?
I hear jazz. I feel like it's a very like Parisian type of feel that I see.
You've got quite a view here.
It's amazing.
You're looking out like, over the whole city.
This is sweet.
What else do you see?
What else do I see?
If that's all you see, that's great.
I think I see. Definitely see the Eiffel Tower.
Oh yeah, totally.
Hey guys, it's Rachel over here.
Hi.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry, Rachel. Hey guys, it's Rachel. I got lost going to the bathroom. Uh-oh. And I found these chapsticks.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
I'm Claire. Did I say that? No. I'm here.
Oh, I've been guys. We all came into the vault separately. Yeah. Let's announce ourselves.
We did. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we were supposed to tell anyone that we duplicated the keys.
Yeah,
but we did.
Oh, oops.
But anyway, I also on my way here I saw a blue beaded necklace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Oh my gosh, that's Oscar.
Hey guys, it's Oscar.
Oh my god.
What's up?
Hi, Oscar.
I've been standing here the whole time just watching you guys chat.
I was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I saw you come in. And guys, I'm watching these like goose-sized bonnets that I found.
That's cool. Vault.
Yeah,
that's wow. A very specific size.
Yeah.
So obviously from all these little hints, we are talking about
Aristocats.
So Andy, tell us, what is your connection to the Aristocats or just to Disney in general?
Oh, well, Aristocats is actually my favorite animated feature of all time. Whoa. I know it's strange. People always are surprised when I say that. I mean, I do love cats. I'm totally a cat lady.
Well, it's so funny, too, because this is a thing that I just, because this is the first time I'm watching Aristocats, but it's everybody's like low-key favorite Disney animated movie.
Is it?
There were so
there's a lot of people. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
telling you, there were so many people clamoring to be guests for this one.
Lou said it about
just while we were watching it. I was Instagram storying it, and Riley like immediately was like, "That's my favorite movie." Mm-hmm. He responded to it. So
it's popular.
Yeah.
There were like four or five people who came up to me. And they're like, "I want to be on your podcast for the Aristocats." And I was like, "Oh my! I didn't know that was."
And you guys chose me. I love that.
We chose.
Yay! And I appeared in the vault.
Vault chooses you.
The vault,
we
don't
choose. The vault chooses you.
Yeah, it's magic.
I've run into you guys.
That's true. I was just kind of at home, you know, just watching. Yeah.
And then pop, you were here.
Watching Aristocats again.
How many times would you say you've seen this movie?
Well, as a child, I've probably seen it about 100 times. Mm. I mean, or more, because I actually started watching, when I grew up in Hong Kong and in Saudi Arabia and in Holland. Okay, because my dad traveled around a lot for work, so did we. We followed him around. And so I was a kid that was raised on bootleg, like VHS. VHSs.
Oh,
yeah. So, so in Hong Kong, especially, you can get whatever you want. So, we would have like VHSs with all these like Disney animated shows on them, and also Warner Brothers. But we would have on this particular VHS that we wore out. There was Aristocats, Cinderella, and Lady and the Tramp. Mm. And we would just watch those three over and over again.
Is there a reason you had to have it bootleg? Because this movie came out in 1970. And I assume that you were watching it much later than that.
Much later than that. And I think it was because, I don't know if it was re-released at the time. Or maybe it was.
Yeah, because you know Disney is real weird
about.
Well,
they put stuff in the vault.
In the vault. That's how we get access.
That's how we watch them all.
I remember there was a point in my life where I was really like craving to watch Hercules Aladdin. And for some reason we couldn't find our VHS tape or something like that. So my dad went to like Circuit City to find the DVD of it, but it wasn't out of the vault. So you can't find it.
That makes sense.
Anywhere.
Oh, very interesting.
And this was before like streaming services.
Right.
Right.
So
yeah, I remember we had Song of the South on one of our VHSs, but like VHSs,
that's a hot commodity.
Yeah, and no one else had it, so it's one of those things, like, you know.
So you're one of the few people who actually saw Song of the South.
I saw it multiple times.
Wow.
Yeah, and had no idea. Okay. Well, later on, I'm sure we're gonna talk about that problematic part in Aristocats.
Oh yes, it's coming up.
We'll get to that.
You loved the Aristocats.
I loved it, and I would watch it over and over. So out of that particular VHS, I would forward to that part and watch that section of the movie.
So it seems to me like not only did you like the Aristocats, but you also loved Disney, right?
Mm.
Or were you only familiar with that era of Disney? Like what was Disney to you growing up?
I mean, I love animated cartoons mainly. And then there were some of the features that I liked too, but especially like Aristocats, like Lady and the Tramp. And it was the kind of things that they were, along with like musicals, old musicals, is what taught me English.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it too, because the fact that I was originally in Hong Kong when I started out as a kid, it wasn't my first language. So, but music, I was always a very musical kid.
How many languages do you speak?
I really only speak two at this point. and only one well. So, but back in the day, I started out in one language and then went over to the other.
Very cool.
So that kind of thing.
So, what about you guys? Yeah. Have you guys seen this movie before?
Yes, but not a lot. I know that I liked it because I am a big cat person, but it wasn't one of my favorites growing up. And I can't tell you why.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Oscar?
I've never seen it before. No. I've actually never heard about it until fairly recently.
Until four people came up to you.
Well, yeah. I'm like, what are you, Aristocrats?
You're like, that's not
a
movie.
Disney movie.
You're like,
weirdo.
You mean aristocrat? That's a word.
Yeah.
that's
a word. I didn't know about it. But again, like, I'm familiar with very few Disney movies. So the Aristocats, I wouldn't say it would be like a banger of a Disney. It's not like
it's
one of those.
Yeah.
It's not a banger.
But it has some bangers in it.
Oh, of course. I mean, like, banger in the sense that it's like a popular one. It's everyone's sort of, it's sort of like a cult status of the Disney.
Oh, for sure.
No, I was reading that, that like it didn't do well among the movies that came out at this time. Cause like 101 Dalmatians and Jungle Book,
right.
This was kind of like a snooze type, not really snooze, but it just didn't do as well. And it hasn't really stuck out in the years. Like now, you see, like, Marie everywhere in the parks. She's, like, super popular.
She's also real popular as a tattoo.
She's,
Is she?
Yeah.
She's, like,
I'm not sure what the tattoo time holds for us. Yeah. Keep that in mind.
I mean, I'm wearing a Marie shirt right now.
Yeah.
Marie is everywhere in the park. She's in, like, merchandise and,
So let's do a little bit of background.
Okay.
Just some bare necessities on this movie.
Bare necessities.
Thank you.
That was great.
So the Aristocats, I think you already said it, but this movie was in 1970, so we're in the 70s now.
Yeah, we made it.
Welcome to the 70s.
Okay, hairspray. So I feel like that you can kind of see that in the style and a lot of the attitude of this movie, which is interesting because it is set in 1910 in Paris. But anyway, so as we were saying, the budget was $4 million and it made $55.7 million at the box office, which I guess it got a positive reception, but maybe it just wasn't like a smash as we were talking about. So the Aristocat story was inspired by the true story of a Parisian family of cats circa 1910 that inherited a fabulous fortune.
So this is based on
a real life story. Yes. Wow. Isn't that
hilarious? I thought it was going to be based on a book or something.
Nope. It's very funny. So story by Tom McGowan and Tom Rowe. Tom O'Malley.
Yeah.
So it originally began as a script for a two-part live-action episode
The Wonderful
of the Wonderful World of Disney. And after 2 years of rewrites, Walt suggested that it would be better for animation, and they placed it after the Jungle Book, and they were already working on it. And so this was actually the very last film that Walt touched approved. In some way, or mm. approved.
He just approved it.
But
just
then
approved.
I think there's one more down the line that was in production at this point that he had okay. technically worked on. But of course, as we know, he died in December of 1966, 4 years before this was released.
Mm. So he didn't really help at all with the making. He just approved it.
Yeah. And this was also the last feature that the Sherman Brothers worked on as staff songwriters.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because they grew frustrated with the management after Walt died.
Yeah. Mm. I know they didn't do the Everybody Wants to Be a Cat song.
Oh, interesting.
But they did do the title song.
They did do the title song, which, by the way, they got Maurice, how do you say his last name?
Chevalier.
Yeah, they got him to come out of retirement to sing. Because they wrote it specifically for him. Like they asked, they wrote, I Want to Be Like You for Louis Armstrong, right?
But then they didn't get him.
Mm-hmm. But they wrote the Aristocats theme song for Marie.
Well, they also tried to get Louis Armstrong for this movie as well, but it didn't work because I think he was ill.
The
character of Scat Cat was designed to be voiced by Louis Armstrong. The character's look was modeled after him, the way that he played the trumpet, his roly-poly physique, and right down to his prominent tooth gap. However, he was unable to record it because he was ill. Oh. And so they replaced him with Scatman Crothers.
Good name. Yeah, Scatman Crothers. Yeah.
So let's just jump through this movie, y'all.
Yeah. Okay.
Dirt in Paris, 1910. And we find a horse with a hat on.
Yeah.
You guys, we've seen that before.
And Make My Music?
Make My Music, that's right.
Make My Music. There was this really cute short. Aww. I remember, I think it got 5 out of 5, if I recall correctly. Yeah,
Blue Bonnet.
Sung by the Something Sisters.
The Pointer Sisters.
Yeah, the Pointer Sisters.
Just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
What else do the Pointer Sisters sing?
I'm so excited. Wait, is it the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy?
No. Well,
ladies?
Yeah, but what are they called? They're...
Anderson?
Yes. Anderson Sisters. Ding, Andrew, ding, ding, ding.
Andrew.
Yeah, we're really bad at remembering names.
We have a terrible memory.
It's because of all being trapped in the vault. There's not a lot of airflow, so.
There's a lot of facts. The Andrews Sisters.
The Andrews Sisters.
All right. Wow. Fact check. Oh, and I would like to correct a fact. Last week, I said Frankie Valley, but it is in fact Frankie Avalon, just in case anybody was wondering who Annette Funicello is often paired with. If you're out there.
Fact
correction.
Fact correction. Sorry, but it ain't pimping in it.
Fact fix. All right, so we come into Duchess and Marie and the two boy kitty babies all hanging out with
Toulouse and Berlioz.
All riding in their carriage home, being little rich, cute kitties.
They're so cute. Mm. And then they go and they do their, they each do their own thing. What's his face? Does painting?
Oh, yeah, one paint.
Toulouse painting.
Marie's doing her scales and arpeggios. She's singing her brother, Toulouse.
Berlioz.
These names.
No, like French names.
Too French.
They're too French and too rich French too. It's not like.
I think that's
they're named
why
after artists,
Marie is
right?
the only one that Toulouse is popular now because her name's the only one.
Yeah, no one's gonna be clamoring for Berlioz merchandise.
Also, for some reason, she comes off like sassy. When she says, women don't start fights. Yeah. Ladies don't start fights. We can finish them.
We can finish, yeah.
And she's British.
Yeah.
Like her brothers are all like, you know.
That is a weird, Disney and accents are so, it's like just like all over the place. Like I know it takes place in France.
Yeah.
But we got a Russian cat. We got an Italian cat. We got an Asian American cat. You know.
I think he might have been just Asian.
I mean, you're
going to figure that one out. Asian American. It's very ethnocentric of me.
I know we're jumping ahead there, but it's interesting because it's like they try to make it like it's representing different cultures, but in doing so, it's sort of hurts.
We talked about it in Lady and the Tramp.
But yeah. I know we'll come back to that. So the characters of Toulouse and Berlioz are named after two famous French artists, obviously Toulouse-Lautrec and Hector Berlioz, the composer.
I read that they originally were going to have four kittens, but that was too many characters.
That is true, because I was like, oh boy, how many kittens are there? And then I realized it was just three, so it made it easier to digest. Three words.
And there was originally, instead of, it was a butler and a maid.
Oh, jeez.
And the maid was one of the actresses from Mary Poppins.
Oh merciful.
That lady, I know... Wait, is it the lady who's in it? Because there is one of the ladies from Mary Poppins in it.
She was the maid and I think the nanny. Katie Nanny in Mary Poppins.
Katie Nana.
Yeah, that's it. In Mary Poppins.
But she was supposed to be the maid.
She was supposed to be the maid.
They just erased
her. And they erased the maid, yeah.
So essentially what we got going on is these kitties are living a great life. And the older woman, Madame Adelaide, decides she wants to put the cats in her will to inherit everything.
And her lawyer is hilarious.
Her lawyer is so cute. And he can't. Like,
I'm worried for. He wasn't hilarious to me. I was a little like worried.
You were too busy worried for him to really enjoy his physical gag.
He's an old man.
His physical gag was he could barely walk.
He puts on bottle can glasses,
and he looks exactly like the old guy from the Toy Story,
the toy repairer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was George.
Oh, I love how he's like, I'm not as spry as I was when I was 88.
So I guess he's some kind of lawyer or something because he's there to change her will.
Yeah, he can sue. He is also an estate lawyer.
Yeah. And so Edgar overhears this.
Edgar the butler.
Immediately decides to poison the cats to make them sleep or give them a sleeping pill.
Yeah, just get rid of them.
But he's like cooking it. It like looks like a little stew.
Yeah, well, he gives them milk. Like a cream.
Creme de la creme a la Edgar.
Creme de la creme a la Edgar. And then that's when we meet Roquefort, the mouse.
I gotta say, it looked good, that creme de la creme.
You did.
Because then he was mixing sugar and cinnamon and then a spice.
Vanilla. There was vanilla in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you say it?
I think it's Roquefort. I think it's like the cheese.
Mm, yeah, okay. Roquefort. He was voiced by Sterling Holloway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Winnie the Pooh.
That is the... How many movies have we seen him in so far?
Oh, man. Let's see. Like,
Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Jungle Book.
Saludos Amigos.
Yes.
Is that it? Three?
Was he in Alice in Wonderland?
Yes.
Yeah, Cheshire Cat. Yeah.
Oh, that, as you just said that. I meant Peter Pan.
Yes.
No. I don't know.
Oh, man. It's a lot. We'll have to...
We'll fact check.
No, Smee was Bob Thompson, who was in this movie. He was the goose guy, Uncle...
Oh, okay. Well, that's fun.
So at the time, were these voice actors kind of like part of the studio system? So they would always come back and reoccur?
I don't know exactly if there was some kind of contract with it, but they definitely occur like over and over in different movies.
It's like the equivalent of like something like a Judd Apatow comedy.
Yeah, or like a
let's
company.
Bring our friends together.
Yeah, bring our crew back. Like company players in like a theater troupe or something.
You write a show and you're like, I guess I'll put actors in it. And it's like, who are my friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my friends are talented and have weird voices. Yeah, come on.
Tom O'Malley is also the voice of Baloo.
Oh, Baloo.
What's his face?
And they catered to Thomas O'Malley to Phil Harris. They said he could improvise.
Oh yeah, really? And apparently he was drawn to look like him too.
Yeah,
oh.
Mm-hmm. He told him to be
so
like
funny.
Clark Gable.
I do like him as Tom O'Malley.
Yeah,
even more than as Baloo.
Tom O'Malley more than Baloo.
I do actually.
I think I understand because it's. As Tom O'Malley, he gives off that like cool thing, but like you think he's actually cool, whereas Baloo's not actually cool.
Yeah.
Baloo's kind of like a loser.
A mess.
Yeah, he's kind of a mess.
Interesting.
However, Tom O'Malley, he's laying it on very thick.
Yeah.
Very, very thick. So
yeah, and he's a hep cat. Like
yeah.
He's supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah, because we're in that
age
now.
Who do you like more, Oscar?
I like Baloo more than Tom O'Malley.
You do?
Tom O'Malley seemed very sort of cool because his want was to... hit on Duchess. He was a bit of a player and
it's
sort of
true,
like,
but he's, he made me uncomfortable. Seems deeper than that, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, Rachel, say that again.
He made me uncomfortable.
Well, he did make me a little uncomfortable too.
Well, now watching it in this climate, I'm like,
that's true. Because the way he calls her baby and all that, like without knowing her,
he sang that song and then like
he did grab tail on this one, guys.
The thing is like, who would I want to hang out with? And it's Baloo, because I wouldn't have to be like, okay, guy, come on.
If anything, Baloo is like his own. Like people think he's a weirdo. Like.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you know, I'm a weirdo too. So, like, I'm like, yeah, cool. Bare Necessities. You're awesome.
But
yeah. Whereas Tom O'Malley, I'm like, I guess I'm your wingman.
Yeah.
I
don't know. But what. To O'Malley's defense, like, Duchess is like 100% on board. Yeah. She's actually like the one who initiates, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So,
by the way, Duchess is voiced by Ava Gabor, who also.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. She's also in The Rescuers.
Oh, she is? Oh. And of course, we know her from the television show Green Acres. So this is exactly where we meet O'Malley, and he finds Duchess. And of course, at first, he does not see the kittens that are with her. And they've been thrown by the side of a river.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to figure out how to get back home.
Yeah.
And so we run into him, and there's this whole thing. He does this big courting gesture and talks about how her eyes are like sapphires.
Is he being sincere?
No, he's not being sincere. No.
This is lines he said to everyone.
Yes.
Right.
Because then later in the movie, he's like, oh, your eyes really are like sapphires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're supposed to like him right now?
But the thing is, like I said, it is different because the way Duchess totally gives him the eyes, she gives him the over the shoulder.
She
bats the lashes.
Yeah. Asking, with those sapphire
is
eyes.
That what you're
she says, hello, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think she was playing along so that when her kids show up, she can be like, see? Because when they showed up and he was like thrown off, then she played more with it to be like, oh, you said my eyes were sapphire.
Yeah.
Right off the cuff.
So she was doing the old, like, show the leg so the car stops, and then when the car stops, like, all the murderer jumps out of the bushes. Yeah. It was the old bait and switch.
What happened to the father of those babies?
We don't know.
Was that ever addressed?
It's never addressed, but I feel like.
Apparently, according to Dumbo, babies are delivered by storks.
That's true.
That's the mythology that we've set up.
Yeah, in the universe, it's true.
Yeah, so maybe they just showed up. Also, they all look completely different, it would be different dads. But did you notice that each cat looked like one of the adults?
That's true.
And they each played to that, too. Like, Marie was all like, I'm a lady, like her mother. Mm-hmm. And then Toulouse was like, I'm an alley cat. And he kept doing that.
Thank
you. And you wonder about
Berlioz.
Yeah.
It was a musical cat.
Yeah, Scat Cat.
He loves Scat Cat.
Yeah. So that is really interesting.
Andy, did you notice that for the first time? I just noticed that for the first time. But does that mean that Scat Cat is the father?
Could be.
Maybe.
They got kind of multiple baby
daddies. When he was
talking
to her, she was like feeling him too. Yeah. She was like, oh, you're trolling.
She's everyone. I would love to see a picture of the adult cats with the little kittens in front of them. Like all.
Oh, like fan art?
Like a family
art?
Tree.
Yeah.
Fan art? Oh, fan art request?
Yeah.
Fan art request.
It's our new segment. Fan art.
I don't think any of our fans so far are like real artists because they haven't done anything.
I think they're working on it.
They're taking their time.
A very complicated request
for Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, yeah, it was four layers of fan.
And people were sending in stuff.
No, not yet. They're working on it.
So if you guys are out there, we'll accept them at any time.
Sleeping Beauty is actually my favorite princess.
Oh, really?
Aurora.
I mean, Aurora is awesome.
Interesting.
Think of it this way: she took a nap, and she got everything.
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
I mean, okay. That's just like me. I know that totally describes like my personality, which may not be that great
one. To aspire
but
to.
Yeah, just to, you know,
take
sleep
a nap
on the
and
job.
And get your stuff done.
Literally get your
stuff. It's like an infomercial.
Get your stuff done.
Well, we didn't talk about Edgar and the two dogs.
Lafayette and Napoleon.
Yeah.
Did I go past that? I don't think we met them yet.
Oh, no, no.
No, that was when...
That's when he
lost the basket.
Yeah, he lost the basket.
Oh, okay, yes. There was a little action sequence there. And so the two dogs, what are their names? Napoleon and...
Lafayette.
Lafayette.
They're two hillbilly dogs.
Yeah, they are actually. Well, they are named after Napoleon and Lafayette, the army guys.
French.
I don't like Napoleon's
voice is somebody else. Yes. Correct. Like I've heard that voice. He's. Before.
I think he's also from Green Acres.
Oh, yes, really? Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Something right.
Yeah,
they were both working on Green Acres together while recording this.
So it's George Lindsay and Pat Buttram.
Buttram. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like, let's talk about Edgar for a second as a villain, right? This is a very different sort of spin on the villains that we as Disney fans are familiar with.
Because he's low status.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not like, I mean, he is malicious and
he's
selfish.
He's bumbling.
But he's sort of a klutz. Yeah, he's a klutz, right?
I kind of wish there was a maid character.
Yes. To be like, sort of like a Lady Tremaine.
To be like the nun to hit his hand with the ruler.
Even like, because he's such a bubbly knight, to be like the Yzma, you know? Yes. To be like mad at him for messing up.
Yeah.
It seemed like the villain was only, you know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of those two bumbling idiots from 101 Dalmatians.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like, they're funny, but they're not what's so fun about being eaten. Like, we need a Cruella de Vil.
Yes.
You know?
No, I thought about that too. I was like, this feels like the cat, like all the cat fans were like, we had 101 Dalmatians. We want a cat movie.
Rachel,
so they're like,
you hit it right on the head.
We'll make a cat movie, but they missed the whole point of 101 Dalmatians was great because of Cruella, mm-hmm. and they didn't focus on the villain in this movie.
It was a direct mapping with the villain element completely taken out. Because the thing is, when he was helping George, I was like on his side. I was like, oh, he's sort of nice and he's got a sense of humor, and we saw his underwear, so we saw him lose right away.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, we're supposed to not like him? Like, oh, that's sort of... Yeah. That's sort of hard.
I think that's why the movie doesn't, it's not remembered fondly. Right. Well, I mean, like, people love it, but, like, people aren't like, I remember that. Because, like, people remember villains.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Just as much as they remember the protagonist. Yeah. So it's like...
I think it's just such a simple story, too. Like, you could easily say the plot in a sentence, right?
Yeah.
What would you say? Plot? I would say it's the story of... cats who are abducted and then find their way home.
Yeah.
Or not abducted.
Well,
but,
what's
you
the
know,
story of 101 Dalmatians? Dogs are abducted and find their way home.
Yeah.
It, like,
we got a horse in 101 Dalmatians.
Yes,
we got a horse.
We got
dogs. Two dogs.
We got cats.
Kittens and puppies.
There were no geese in 101 Dalmatians.
No.
But we did have cows.
Yeah.
So to me, those were the geese.
Yes. Were there geese? Or something. There were some.
Those geese do look familiar. Like, I feel like they come back.
Were there geese in? No, there was. There were geese in Song of the South.
Is that where I saw
distinctly
them?
Remember the Am geese thinking, in Song of the South.
Oh, I think I'm thinking of Charlotte's Web. The one that's like double A, double E, double O.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What is Charlotte's Web?
But we do meet the geese, right?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
they're very fun.
Yeah, they're super fun. Here, skipping down a little bit. They're very like, they're like giggly geese, and they try to teach O'Malley how to swim,
but end up almost killing him.
So actually, well, we missed a little chunk because that's what happens is that O'Malley finally like comes to realization that he should help this family mm-hmm. make their way mm-hmm. home, even mm-hmm. though he's like clearly not just gonna get in with the mama as he wanted to. And this is where Edgar comes in all jazzed and he's like excited, and there's another newspaper article about a pet abduction like we saw in 101 Dalmatians, because apparently in this universe that makes the news.
That's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
It's front page too.
And so is that where Edgar, I think, shows the horse? He's like, looky what I did.
Look what I did.
See this abduction? That was me.
Which
and
causes
the mouse is like, hold Rockford on one second.
He's like, oh,
great,
like,
mouse detective.
Yeah, then he puts on his costume.
Sherlock Holmes outfit.
So
yeah.
But you know what? He kind of, maybe I'm jumping ahead. I shouldn't talk about him just yet. But he fails. He fails like twice to help them. And the third time he kind of helps at the very end.
So. Everyone's like living in sort of like a lukewarm kind of existence in this. Like, like Edgar's not super evil. O'Malley's not like super on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's just kind of like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
It's very jazzy.
It's very jazzy. It's very like gold flow. Yeah.
Yeah. But we eventually meet the geese because they get on a truck, which ends
buried 101 Dalmatians.
Kicks them off.
Yes. The driver is like
a magic carpet.
The driver hates cats.
I'm like now being like, holy moly, this is just a layer. This is 101 Catmations.
So those giggly geese. So, O'Malley falls in the river because he's saving Marie for the second time.
Yeah. Like, can't get it. Poor cat.
But I do love that scene where they're going along the tracks and the three kittens are like, let's play train. And they're like, choo, 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 choo.
The it's little kitten, so like, cute. Come on. The kitten's cuteness cannot be denied.
Yes.
Oh, not it's at all. I would say charts. It's the driving force it's of the entire
movie. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when they're fighting. I love the part where she's like, well, it's like, I'm a girl. And
then he's like, you're not a lady. You're a sister.
That's right. So cute.
Who's your favorite kitten?
Who's
your favorite kitten?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I would say I like Toulouse, I think, probably. Because I always sympathize with the fatter one.
He was definitely the fatter.
That puffy thing he does when he, like, so cute. He spazzes. It's so cute. Yeah. It's like his threat. His,
and he
like,
spits, too. It's very funny. Oh,
it's like his threatening pose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite would definitely be Berlioz because he plays piano.
Yeah. Oh.
Nice.
Piano. Oscar.
Toulouse, 100%. Yeah. I mean, just watching him like try to be cool is so funny. It's a fun. It's a fun little kitten.
Also, orange cats are cute. Mm-hmm. They remind me of Oliver.
Yeah.
So those geese try to teach O'Malley to swim, even though they're like, it's so easy, but they're geese, so of course it's easy. And then we meet drunk Uncle Waldo.
Oh, yeah. He's
It was like...
He's marinated.
So far, we're like, what? Halfway through the movie? Are we even halfway through the movie? Probably. And we're introduced to so many characters
and
already.
And they're only there for like 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes and then they're gone. And it's like, here, let's meet another character. Like, that's the driving force of the movie. It's like, let's meet this one.
But these are journey. It's a journey movie.
These are the characters that you would see like hardcore fans dressing up like and then being like, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Uncle Waldo.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Like spirit bonding? Is that what it's called?
Oh, Disney bounding.
Disney bounding.
Spirit bonding. That's when you do a ritual. You pull out the Ouija board and you do a ritual to connect yourself with the person.
That's the Miyazaki one,
spiriting away.
Yeah, that's when you spirit bound. But Disney
bounding.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So then we meet this cat. We meet Scat Cat and the Swingers.
Oh, which by the way, this is where I come up with my imaginary with Rachel. Woo! So you know, I talk about the parks. So I mentioned before that Marie is like super popular in the parks. You see her now a lot in like Paris in Epcot. And probably also in Disneyland Paris. I think they also have the other two kittens that you can meet in the park. Mm-hmm. But they don't really have any rides or like anything. But this is what I would put in the park. So now that Epcot is moving away from just the countries, I think they're putting in a Ratatouille thing in Paris. And they put in a Frozen thing in Norway, which doesn't make sense because... where they're from is not really Norway, and they're putting a bunch of other like they're trying to put more Disney rides within the countries.
Oh, that's cool.
I wouldn't put a ride, but I would put a cat cafe.
Paris.
Perfect. That has the Scat Cats performing, kind of like the Diamond. What is it in Frontierland? What is it?
The Golden Horseshoe.
That's it. Yeah. I would, where they have like shows every couple of hours and they would play like swing dancing music and like kind of scat music and people could dance and then meet the cats.
It's
the cats
so cool.
It could be like a character.
Be like
it
the kind new of. Country
Bears. I was going to say, it makes me think of like the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic. Oh.
Well,
band.
It wouldn't be animatronic.
I know.
Thing.
It could be.
It could be,
would
though.
It could be. But it'd be cool if it was live.
And it would
do
all
you see
be
these
like
people in costumes or like people.
I think it would be like kind of like the character breakfasts where like the characters would come around and you could take pictures with them. Kind of like dancing parties. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a character dancing party?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those are always
so
fun.
What are those?
It's where like they just have like a dance party, but they have characters out dancing with you.
What?
Yeah. Or what about like the Alice in Wonderland concert? Do you remember they were like the rock and roll kind of style? Like that would be cool.
I think it would be like the band that was playing would be like people but dressed like cats kind of not like
that's what I'm saying like you would style would it like, so it's not weird
so it's not weird kind of like Jack Skellington
full Disney costume
bounding, but Disney bounding as cats
we did it
but the cafe would serve like French pastries and all that stuff and then like in the coffee you can get the foam with the different
creme de la Edgar
you can get creme de la Edgar you could get the foam
cream.
Would be
poisoned
you
cream.
Can get different foam designs of the different cats too
done
awesome.
I love that
yeah so imagine
you're that
I thought you were gonna do a take on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride but
fall I thought about
that would be so good everybody.
Oh my god they should re-theme it. I thought about that but I was like
that's what makes me think this movie doesn't have a lot of really like dark aspects or dangerous aspects. Mm-hmm. Like I know something we've talked about is how so many of these Disney movies are actually way creepier and darker than people remember them for. Mm-hmm. But this one's really pretty.
The darkest part was when Edgar was trying to kill Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. With the pitchfork.
Yeah.
It almost got him too.
Yeah.
And when he threw the cats in the oven.
Oh yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. I thought it was bad.
Yeah. But it's all pretty PG.
Yeah. But I do want to say also, my sister sends me some like pictures from like the like archives basically. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of one of the Scat Cats at like a costume, like a character you could be in the parks back in the 70s. There was one of the Scat Cats, the yellow one with the glasses.
Oh, the Hepcat one.
Yeah.
The super hippie one.
The super hippie one.
Oh, yeah. With the long.
With the beads.
Yeah. He's like a character you could meet in the park.
That's so wild because he was very sort of periphery.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
but not the Siamese one, right?
He's really
Well, so that brings us to everybody wants to be a cat. We meet all these crazy stereotypes.
Yes.
One of which is, I mean, they're not, none of them are great. Let's just say that.
Should we go through
but
them?
But one of them
let's
is,
go through them.
They're, okay, so there's like, is one of them like, Italian or so there's like an Italian
French.
One
Peppo? I think Italian
he must have been Italian okay
because because I guess French would be just like everybody else since we're in Paris I guess and then
a hippie one
the hippie one that has
there's
the long hair and the
like
glasses.
A Russian one
got a Russian
the Russian one
is
voiced
it Russian?
By what's his face Thurl Ravenscroft.
Also, it's a for any cat lovers, it's a Russian blue cat.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Actually, here they're all named. So it's Billy Bass Russian cat. Then there's Peppo Italian cat, Hit Cat English cat, Shun Gon Chinese cat.
Shun Gon.
And then of course Scat Cat.
Black cat.
Yeah. So Hit Cat is the one that you could have seen in the parks. The yellow
Hit's
one.
Cat.
The English cat. Okay, yeah.
Oh, so he's English.
Yeah, so I guess he's supposed to be kind of like a beetle, maybe?
Oh.
Or sort of like derived from there. It's sort of still. He had that hair like that one vulture.
We're going to go to Shanghai, Hong Kong, Egg Foo Young.
Yes.
Fortune cookies.
So, like, Andy, you know the words too, because when we watched this together, you were singing along.
Yeah.
So, like, that's got to mean something to you, that part.
Well, when I was a kid, it didn't. In fact, I had no idea that it was a bad stereotype. I was the person. Yeah. I mean, I was 4 years old when I started watching this.
Yeah, how could you know?
And over again. And I loved it because this cat.
Wait, so you like related to this cat?
I related to this cat because he was playing piano. I started learning piano at a very young age. My mother was a piano teacher.
Uh-huh.
So this cat's playing piano. So I'm like, yeah, I like this cat. And then it was playing piano with chopsticks. Which I thought was really dope. And then, of course, it's Asian.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I love this cat.
Oh.
How could this be
bad? This cat is me.
This cat is me. So cool. I'm not cross-eyed, but hey, I don't have bug teeth. But you know, yeah. I think I lost a tooth at that age.
Oh my gosh!
But I had no problem. But my parents actually. I mean, the story goes, I don't remember this, but apparently, like, my dad would be like, all right, I'm playing it again. Because, you know, like, when you're parents, you just, like, keep playing the same thing over again to shut the kid up.
Right.
So he was playing Aristocats, because that's what I wanted to watch. And my mom comes in, she's like, oh, my God, we've been letting her watch this, letting her and my little brother, who was, like, one at the time, like, watch this again and again. She goes, we're not supposed to do this. And my dad's like, that's what she wants. What am I going to do? I can't stop her from seeing this again. Like,
you she can. Did. You're the
parent. No, we weren't the parents. This is racist. But I was just so determined to keep watching it that they're like, okay, just let her. Yeah. We're just gonna have to tell her that it's not.
That's bad. It's just gotta be a discussion, parents. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to have a conversation later.
It exists in history. However, this scene was later deemed politically incorrect, so they removed it from the soundtrack, and it does remain in the feature home releases as we saw today.
It's on Hulu, you guys. You can watch it. You can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah. Shout out to Hulu.
I have the soundtrack actually, and I noticed that.
I do want to say though. Since Walt did not work on this film, he was not a part of this. So anytime anyone has ever used this against me as a reason why Walt Disney is racist, you're wrong.
Well,
right.
Rachel, standing up for Walt.
Let us not forget his dying words
woke Disney.
White Louie. He woke.
Woke Disney. Woke. Hashtag
woke
Jungle
Disney.
Book.
He woke as he died.
He woke as he died. He got it together.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, I do admire.
His last cigarette.
I admire that they want to bring in different kinds of characters. However, it's obviously not done in a good way. And because also they are cats.
But,
so it's really strange. But then again, like you said. That's what I was going for, but but it's sort of they're going kind of off of the cat breeds, but then they're really laying into stereotypes.
It's the same issue that they did in Lady
in the Tramp. It's the exact same.
And it's so funny because it seems like Disney cannot shake itself out of it.
Yeah,
because we even see it in one of the very few Disney movies that I've actually seen, which is Oliver and Company. Like, it's still prevailing in the 1980s. But like.
Well, this is also only a decade before that.
That's very true. But because to quote Rachel, like, it was a different time. And back then, like, that was
But the
fine.
Thing is, it's not. It's also a thing where it's like, it clearly was something that everyone was okay with.
Yeah.
Because, like, it can happen after Walt is gone, which everyone tends to be like, blame it on him. Oh, it was his vision. And it's like, no, but it.
Right.
So many people worked on this movie, and so many people could have been like, no, this is wrong.
Right. To tack onto that, actually, I want to add some sort of historical context to that this movie in particular. Because we were talking about The Jungle Book and that being the silver age of Disney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like movies that did really, really well. And The Aristocats is the first of the dark age of Disney, which is the company scrambling after Disney's death to try to, like, make some of that magic and sort of not really succeeding. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they lost Walt and they're losing the Sherman brothers.
That's right.
So they're kind of losing two of their big, I don't know.
So in a way, it's like it sort of rubber bands back to them in World War II times where they're just like sort of scrambling at this point.
And it also makes sense as to why a lot of the animation is also recycled right now, because the dancing between Thomas O'Malley and Duchess is used in Robin Hood when Maid Marian and Robin Hood are dancing.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other stuff that is kind of recycled. So,
we see that in this movie. Those sequences happen like 2-3 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, this is also the 9 old men are starting to kind of ease off of Disney movies. Only 5 of the original 9 old men worked on this film.
Mm.
So it's like also they're losing those people too.
Yeah.
Were they just quitting or retiring? Or
yeah, they were getting old.
Well, because we started in, what was it, 1937?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
some of them some of the 9 old men stuck around until like the 80s and 90s because they were still like, they were the men that now are like the old men to us, the 9 old men to us. They were apprentices of the original 9 old men.
Yeah.
So and when you like say 9 old men, those are like the 9 original animators.
Yes. Like Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson and
Oh, those guys with cool names.
Yeah.
Is Ub Iwerks one of them?
So like, no. Yeah. So right now, I mean, this movie is a clear example of Disney sort of being like, a lot of stuff is going on right now, but you know what? We're still going to push through and give you content, but it's not like the best content.
Yeah. There. It's like kind of like when your team is going to competition and so many of your star cheerleaders or dancers are like sick or whatever. So you have to bring in some alternates and you're like, we're struggling a little, but we still are doing the same routine. And you're like,
you know, let's do the same routine as last year. Yeah. It worked okay before.
But you know, but also some people in that game was like, this is my favorite game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not everyone's favorite game.
Something
but
for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely a contest of when you watched it. I mean, watching it now, this would not be my favorite movie of all time.
Well, and also, I mean, there's that something to be said. Point. I mean, there's something to be said too, because of course you saw when you're little, and like the characters are very cute and they're fun. I get it.
They're broad. They're like
it's big. It's pretty. Yeah. It's like it's beautiful. There are some really beautiful backgrounds and landscapes still going
on. I did notice in some of the far off shots with like Duchess, you could see her lines in her face, like sketch lines.
That's, I mean, like the
opening was like
the old, I don't want to say old lady, but the elderly main lady, she was all, her lady, hair was all sketch lines.
Yeah.
It was very 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. So. It was kind of like a stylistic choice almost because they opened with those sketch sort of animations.
It's like, this is going to be rough.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, we know.
They're apologizing for the movie before.
We did it on purpose. Okay. See, look, it's here from the get go.
Guys, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough.
We have budget erasers.
So Duchess tucks her babies into bed and she and O'Malley have a little rooftop chat.
Yeah.
Thomas says they need a father around and they're very heavily insinuating that they're in love.
Yeah.
And they want to be together and they're holding tails.
And then so cute. They end up getting back to the house, but unaware to them, Edgar. Is because they're like
they mess things up again.
Yeah, so they get back to the house, and then of course Edgar catches them right away, literally in a sack.
Yeah, because they don't know to look out for Edgar.
No, they think Edgar's a nice idiot.
Although Rockford, of course, is running around like, "Don't come in the house. This guy is crazy."
And, you know, Toulouse, he did kind of have an idea.
Yeah,
a little
he
bit.
Had that dream where he's like, "Edgar,
he don't did I. this."
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, it was such a bad dream."
Yeah. So, Oh, wait. He puts them in a sack. He throws them in the oven, as we talked about. And then I feel like there was just a lot of, like, running.
Yeah.
So a lot of running.
It was a lot of the, like, the Scooby-Doo type that we just saw
in the Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book during the I Wanna Be Like You, where they're all, like, running around trying to grab Mowgli.
Oh, right, because O'Malley tells Rockford to go get Scat Cat and the gang, and then there's a bunch of business where Rockford is trapped by the cats, and they won't listen to him.
It's so funny. He couldn't remember the name either. Right. Just a bunch of Irish names is what he kept saying.
Oh, man.
Once more.
Isn't it so funny, though, like, watching this, like, doing this podcast and watching these movies in close... in such close succession, we are so aware of like the patterns, but like, I mean, Jungle Book was made in what, 67? This is 3 years later. People must have forgotten it, but we're like keen to it now. We're like, wait a second,
I know,
see what you're doing.
Did this in the last movie,
I know. That's why it's funny that, like, we're watching them so close together that we're seeing the evolution, and we're also seeing where it doesn't quite evolve.
Where it doesn't, where it just stays the same.
Which, but then it's cool because then you kind of see you have to build off of what you have and what you know works. Like, even with the story of this, where it is so similar to 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. I mean, also, they were losing their, like, coach, basically. Yeah. So they were like, let's just go back to what we know.
Right.
Back to the game plan.
Back to the game.
So there's a fight sequence with Edgar and the Scat Cat gang.
Because Edgar wants to throw the cats to in a weird box.
In like a chest. Yeah, a trunk. And send them to
Timbuktu. Which is where?
It's far away.
It's just far away. I mean, I have no idea. I really want to know where it is.
Somewhere in Africa?
Timbuktu, I assume Africa. I mean, right? That sounds like a weird jungle in Africa, right?
My God. What? Oscar?
Doesn't it? Timbuktu. It sounds like it's in Africa.
It's
in Mali. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you
it's
go.
In Africa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but instead, they get Edgar in the chest and he gets sent to Timbuktu. Yeah. So thanks good luck, Edgar.
Thanks to the horse. So he gets a taste of his own creme de la Edgar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that horse legit but he was may just end like, up
dying in that trunk if it doesn't have a proper hole for him to breathe.
That's the darkness of Disney. It's going to be a long right there.
He actually died. He probably died. That horse what's Fru Fru the horse?
Frau Frau.
I really like that name.
And then, go, let go and jump in. Isn't that Frau Frau?
Frru Frru?
Oh, right.
It's from Garden State.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The soundtrack?
Shout out to Garden State.
Shout out to Garden State. Don't know what that is because it's not Disney, but I heard it.
Never heard of it.
It's just words that came out of my mouth. So then we basically cut to the future where we're getting a picture taken where we see Thomas O'Malley Kitty has
family portrait.
A little a collar.
Yeah. He's gone white collar on us. He's buttoned up.
White collar.
I love it.
It's kind of like when a lady gets her collar in Lady and the Tramp, it's like a sign you have a home.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when Tramp gets his collar. And
the madam is happy to have him as part of the family, combing his hair.
Need a man.
Talking about them having more babies.
We see the lawyer and he's all like scratching Edgar off the will.
Yeah. I love that. The scratch one butler.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And so, she's like, not only are we going to have you in the house, we're going to open a whole foundation for all the alley cats.
I like this character. I like that lady so much. She looked like the good version of Lady Tremaine.
She's her good twin.
She did. Yeah, she's her good twin, right?
Mm-hmm. I like her because that's probably going to be my life.
Oh, you will be that?
Yeah.
Open a foundation. I mean, that's a pretty sweet life. Just have a she house. Lives in a big mansion
so with her cats. That's a huge undertaking. She's going to take all the alley cats in Paris?
I mean, the
she
thing is...
She's going to get a new butler. She's going to get help.
What happens...
New help.
Take an alley
she's
cat.
She's got a butler. All those cats. Good.
How was she gonna hire a new butler and explain the situation?
She's
of
like,
what happened?
Listen, you don't really have to take care of me as a butler. But you have to take care of these.
Her,
cats.
She has no idea where Edgar went. He just stopped coming to work. So she's like, ah, what a loser.
So it's gonna happen again. Like, listen, all these cats are in my will.
Set up for this.
You are here to take care of.
That is a crazy thing. She might even have cat scratch fever or like whatever sort of.
Well, it was like a thing of give the money to the cats until the cats die. And you know cats aren't going to live forever.
That's what Edgar said. Thought. Remember, he was like, I can't wait 12 years.
Oh, yeah. They kept marking back on like the fact that cats have nine lives.
Okay, but then also like, so is that what happens is that after Edgar, he inherits after the cats, then Edgar will inherit everything?
Yeah, and he just didn't want to wait. He's a lazy bum.
Yeah.
But also, he was kind of older. He's like, I don't have 12 years to live.
Yeah, what I did like about this movie is that there were all the humans were hella old. There were no, like, young. Yeah. There were no young, like, kids in this movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody was older. We're like, oh,
very
cool.
Diverse in terms of age. Good for representation of old humans.
Guys, now it's time for my...
Tattoo time.
It's really simple. I have a lot of cat tattoos. I do love cats. But I'm also allergic to cats, so I can't.
But not
really
my
own
cat.
One. Yeah, not Lady. Actually, that's weird.
Is Oscar actually allergic to cats?
No, she's hypoallergenic. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, but I love cats. I just can't have. Maybe I'll have. Hypoallergenic cat. Anyway, I was thinking of doing just the outline of a cat. It's real simple and conceptual, but just like an outline of three cats, but having the bows placed like the characters.
Colors.
Yeah. Like an orange bow for Toulouse, and then like
the pink bow
for Marie.
Blue floppy one. Yeah. And then, that's cute.
Aww.
Just like a simple of something that isn't super obvious.
Yeah.
But it's like nice and like it'd just be a nice match with the other cat tattoos I have.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
if I was getting tattoos, I would get that one.
Yeah. I like the representation of the other kittens too, because it's true. You really only see Marie. Like I said earlier, it's very popular to have Marie tattoos, but you forget. There are other kittens.
Yeah.
There's other cats.
Gosh.
There's other cats.
So let's rate this movie, y'all.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
How about
five? Oh, we didn't even. Five. I was going to say those baby baskets that they were in.
Five baby baskets? Okay, out of five baby baskets, what do you rate this film? Andy, do you want to start?
Sure. I don't know, maybe because it just brings back good childhood memories. I'll still give it a five baskets out of five.
Honestly, you know? I feel like that's the right answer because you said it's your favorite.
It is my favorite, and it always will be.
So what changed watching it now as an adult to watching it as a kid?
Well, I think what it does for me, and it just reminds me, it brings back good feelings, like childhood feelings, and then, but also it reminds me, well, you know what, now that I'm older and I'm rewatching it, I'm seeing like all of the flaws. It's like, you know, it's a good idea to also, you know, be cognizant going forward, like of other films. And also like, because we are content creators, all of us here, performers and, you know, writers and creators, that, you know, we need to stay woke and, you know, make sure that.
Hashtag woke Disney.
Yes.
Hashtag woke, yeah.
Make sure.
Stay woke.
That's right.
So yeah.
Rachel?
It's inspiring me that way.
I mean, I wasn't ever mad at this movie at all. I just felt like the whole time watching it, I was like, I wish this had a better villain because then it probably would have been a better movie. It would have been like 101 Dalmatians. So for that, I would give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Baby baskets.
Yeah, I think I would give it a 3 baby baskets because as much as I do think it's cute and I like the characters and stuff, the story, it just needs a little more. Like, needs a little more spice, you know? It's a little too lukewarm.
Yeah, yeah. it's honestly like I'm not familiar with it. This is the first time I've watched The Aristocats, so I don't have that sort of nostalgic thing. But it's to me, just in general, it's so funny what nostalgia can do. Exactly. It's just one of those things where you can't fight nostalgia. You can't fight feelings.
It's like your happy place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's going to be the best piece of art. Looking back at it as an adult,
what are Mighty Morphin? I don't know.
Oh, whatever it is.
No, they were owned by Disney.
Yeah, they were owned, so I can say that.
Oh, okay. I'll know what they are in the future.
But anyway, it's to me, that's interesting, right? Like, the things you grew up loving, you're going to still love.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to separate the art from, like, what you, like, right, because art is feelings. What it evokes feelings.
Which is, I think, one of the reasons people do love Disney so much is because it is something you see when you're little. And that's, I think, the connection a lot of people have and share.
It's why I gave Peter Pan a 5, even though I know how problematic that one is.
Because
it's complicated, right? It's like harder to sort
it's
of...
It's like when you're in a relationship with a bad boyfriend.
You're going to give that boyfriend 5 stars, even though you know he's a 2-star boyfriend.
You see the good. Breakdown.
No, but I think it's worth talking about, especially now we're getting into the eras where people are familiar with the content. Yeah. I mean, I am still not familiar with a lot of the content. So so this one just felt like a rehash of a movie that I enjoyed much more, which was 101 Dalmatians. even in the art style, the plot, like everything. And it felt like a weaker version of 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that Edgar was our villain felt so odd to me. The movie is sort of like hard to narrate. Like, I don't really know who the main character is. Like, it's not Tom, I don't think. So it's definitely not like Duchess. But it's not Duchess.
It's
like
the family.
What did she do even?
I think it's maybe just like the whole family.
But you didn't like it.
Oh yeah, what's the baby basket? Yeah.
How many baby baskets?
This one's hard. I'm going to give this 2 baby baskets.
2 baby baskets.
Okay. I do like that summary. I think that is smart. It is like a week. It's like someone was making 101 Dalmatians tea, but they didn't steep the bag long enough, and they came out with this movie.
Only because I'll give it 2 stars. 2 stars. I'm going to 2 baby baskets only because this is where Disney really is just the best at, which is pulling our heartstrings. What it did with that elephant in the Jungle Book, it did it with the 3 kittens. And it's like, oh man, like, these kittens are these are the most adorable kittens ever because they're children.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's also why the kittens are the most prominent now in the parks.
That's what people remember.
And living on. Yeah.
But it's so funny because in box, like the box art or like from someone not watching it, like I've only know of Duchess and Tom O'Malley, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's two out of 5.
Do you hear that music?
Oh.
It's like a bunch of jazzy music.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the ceiling is starting to crumble.
Yeah.
It's like,
We gotta get out of here.
Through.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, oh wow.
Andy, okay, yeah. Thanks Andy, for being in the call with us. Where can people follow you?
Oh, they can definitely follow me on Instagram at A-N-D-Y-A-P-U-Y. You can find me on Facebook, same thing, A-N-D-Y. How do I spell my name? A-N-D-Y-A-P-U-y. And hit me up. Say hi.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, wow. Maybe you need to find a new place to hang out in the vault. Andy, you can come out with us.
Yeah.
If you want.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to follow you out.
You know what, guys? We should just scatter.
So, scatter.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody wants to be a cat.
Okay. Bye,
thank you for listening. Bye.
What's a creative podcast network?
The music group The Black Eyed Peas once wrote, "Where is the love?" And despite that song being from 2003, I think we're all still wondering just where the heck that love is. In a world of haters drinking their haterade, I give to you, In Defense, a podcast, where comedians, improvisers, and all-around smart and funny people come talk with me, Joey Berggren, about the things they love. Things like zip-popping videos, eating the same meal every day, the movie Josie and the Pussycats, cleaning people's feet, and the complete works of Adam Sandler. Check out In Defense on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's a proud member of the What's Creative Podcast Network. Thank you!